Oh, how great is our God.
Before you sit down, just turn around and just say good morning. Maybe find someone that you've never met before and just say, God is good, God is great. And we're going to jump into God's Word here in just a moment. Those are great songs, don't you? Would you agree with that this morning? Great songs of worship and so good. And I just, again, as Calvin said earlier, if this is your first time with us today, we are just so happy to have you here and excited that we can be part of a brand new series that we're starting this morning. And so if this is your first Sunday, this is good. You're getting in right on the ground floor of a new series that we are starting today entitled Giants Will Fall. And if you have your Bibles today or your Bible app, your YouVersion, I don't know how many Bible apps are in this place today, but I use the YouVersion. It's a great one, and if you want to use it, go ahead. But let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I honestly still like the hard copy Bible, so I encourage you. I think there's even some in the seats nearby you as well that you can check it out. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I want to say as we begin that this chapter is one of the most familiar passages of Scripture in the Bible, one of the most familiar stories. It's the story of David and Goliath. And I would say that even people that are not Christian or not, you know, church orientated or maybe even never went to Sunday school as a kid or whatever are still probably familiar with at least the concepts of David and Goliath. You hear it in the sports world from time to time where, you know, there's, you know, this real underdog team is going up against this powerful team. And so it's a common expression. It's something that a lot of people can relate to. And I think the reason that this story in 1 Samuel 17 and the series that we're going to be dealing with over the next few weeks, the reason that it resonates with us is because we can all, I think, relate to giants. I don't know about you, but I have giants in my life that from time to time they just kind of rise up and we need to deal with them. Giants that taunt us, giants that harass us, giants that intimidate us. And what we want to declare in this series is that giants must fall. And some of the inspiration for this series comes out of a book that I was actually reading during my sabbatical back a few weeks ago. And just some stuff from a guy by the name of Louis Giglio. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he's a pastor down in the States, great church. Chris Tomlin is his worship pastor. They're actually the guy that wrote that song that we just sang. And one of the things he talks about is how God can help us deal with those giants in our life. And so we're going to spend some time focusing on this over the next little while. What we want to do as we begin, though, today is just kind of capture some of the high points in this story in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And starting in verse 1, we begin to see the setting, the scene beginning to unfold. It says, and now, verse 1, now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Succoth in Judah. And they pitched camp at Ephes and Dammon between Succoth and Azekah. You don't need to remember those names, all right? So anyway, it says, and Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. So what was happening here was two opposing forces were coming up against each other. They were forming their battle lines, and the Philistines, who were the enemies of the armies of Israel, these two opposing forces had come together, and there was this valley between them, and we'll continue on. It says, and the Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another with the valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. This guy was large. This giant was huge. He was a big dude. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. You might have a little footnote in your Bible. 5,000 shekels is about 125 pounds. That's a lot of armor. Would you agree with that this morning? That's a lot of weight that you have to pack around. This guy was not only big, but he had a lot of armor. And on his legs, he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels, which was about 15 pounds. That was just the head of the spear. His shield bearer went ahead of him. And so with all that, he still had a guy out in front of him carrying a shield. And so this giant was very intimidating. Pick it up in verse 8. We begin to see what was beginning to happen here. Every day, Goliath would stand and would shout to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me, if he is able to fight and kill me, and we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him, you will become our subjects and serve us." And then the Philistine said, here's Goliath, he says, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel." Here's this giant defying the people of God, defying the armies of God. And on hearing the Philistine's words, verse 11, it says, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. How many know this morning that giants can be very intimidating? Giants can be terrifying. Giants can, as I mentioned earlier, they never take a day off. They keep coming. They're harassing. In fact, you can read over in verse 16. It says that for 40 days this Philistine came forward, and every morning and every evening took his stand. Giants are relentless. They come wave after wave after wave, and they just keep coming and keep coming. Here's the point about giants, and here if you want to just make a little footnote about giants. Giants, the giants that the enemy wants to put in our face this morning, they want to take you out. They want to take me out. They want to take this church out. They want to take the people of God out. And we see here how that Saul and his army, we see their response in verse 11. It says they were dismayed and they were terrified. And that's exactly what the enemy wants to do. The Bible says that Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's the purpose of the enemy. That's what he is always about doing. And so as we begin this series today, and there's some notes in your bulletin if you wanted to pull them out, places you can jot some notes down as you go along this morning. One of the questions we want to ask you today is for you to ask yourself, can you name your giant? You don't need to answer back to me, okay? But I throw that question out this morning. Can you name your giant? Can you name that giant that raises his ugly face and his ugly head in front of you? And day after day, or maybe week after week, maybe he's one of those giants that's kind of subtle, that every once in a while he pops out and begins to do his work on you. Can you name your giant? Some of you, you know exactly what your giant is. You don't even have to think about it right away. That giant, you know, you can name your giant. The reality is giants come in all shapes and sizes, big and small. And as I said, some giants are subtle and others are right in your face. They're right there. Interesting, as I was thinking about this, the reality is that giants start small. Goliath wasn't a 9-foot giant all at once, but he was a giant that grew to become that. And oftentimes our giants, the giants that we deal with, are giants that sometimes start small. A hurt or an offense can lead to a giant of bitterness and resentment. It starts with a small hurt or a small wound, and it can turn into something great. An angry moment can lead to hatred. That one social drink can lead to an addiction. That look, that one look in a on a pornographic site can lead to a sexual bondage. And so the question is this morning, can we identify those giants that maybe are small, but have the potential to rise in our life? The good news, and I want to declare this as right from the very beginning, and as Louis would say, it's kind of a spoiler alert. The good news today is this, is that no matter how big or how small our giants are, we have a bigger God that we just sang about this morning. We have a bigger God. And although these giants are trying to take you out, whatever form they come in, we have a bigger God. And the good news is that God's plan, and this is a declaration that we want to make sure is very loud and clear, is that God's plan for your life is to live free. God's plan is for us to live free. And our declaration in this series is that every giant must fall. Every giant. And there is not one giant that you are dealing with in your life that cannot and must not fall. One of the giants that we see very apparent here right off the bat is that whole giant of fear. And Joel is going to, he's going to deal with that subject next Sunday. And I believe it's a giant that we all wrestle with from time to time. And it's amazing how oftentimes those emotions of fear start to sweep over us about something, whatever it might be. Over the next few weeks, we're going to look at some specific giants that must fall. For example, fear. We're going to look at some tools and some habits that we need to have as part of our life that will help us deal with these giants as they come along. And today, as we just continuing looking at this story of David and Goliath, we see David, the shepherd boy, the boy who was watching his father's sheep out near Bethlehem. And now we see him coming into the story. And the question that I think it's in your notes this morning, the question is, who really is David in our story? Who really is David in our story? A lot of us we kind of identify with David. Maybe we think, well, I'm David. Maybe I'm David, this person who, in light of my giants, is very weak and really helpless. We're going to see that may be different. Who was it that really defeated Goliath, as we are going to come to here in a moment? We see here in verse, pick it up in verse 20 if you have your Bible or your Bible app or whatever. It says early in the morning, well, let me just back up. David had been out watching his father's sheep, and his father was wondering how things were going out on in the battle, and some of his sons were out on the battle lines. And so he asked David, I want you to take some food. I want you to take some supplies out to the front lines and just check on, and then come back and tell me how things are going. Well, David, this young adventuresome boy, young boy, thought that's a pretty good assignment. Like, yeah, I want to see who doesn't want to see a battle, you know? I mean, this guy probably, if he would have been today, would have been big into video games and shoot 'em up stuff and all that. But David was very interested in this assignment. And so in verse 20, it says, early in the morning, David, verse 20, left the flock with a shepherd, loaded up and set out as Jesse, his father, had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. So as he gets there, the armies of Israel and some of his brothers, they were just on the verge of marching out to the front lines. And as they're going out, they're shouting their battle cry, their war cry. And Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David, he's been observing all of this. And as he was talking with them, it says, Goliath, the Philistine champion, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance. Again, this was like a replay every day, defiance every day. And David heard it. But this is the first time David's heard it. already for 40 days. They've been marching out, shouting, going their war cries. How many would agree this morning? It takes more than shouting to defeat the enemy. It takes more than just shouting. And these guys, the armies of Israel, that's all they were doing. They were just shouting and thinking that that was going to help. And Goliath steps out with his usual defiance. And it says in verse 24, when the Israelites saw the man, what happened? They all ran from him in great fear. It's just a crazy picture. It's a crazy story when you think about it. You can just imagine the scene. And here's David, like, where are you guys going? Like, what's with this? You're the armies of God. You are the army of Israel and the army of God, and you've just been shouting your war cry. And the one guy steps out, and the next thing you guys are doing is running with your tail between your legs. And like David, this young kid, is thinking, like, what's with that? And so, as you go on a little further, David asks the question. I think it's in verse 26. David says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? What a great question. He's talking to his leaders, the commanding officers who are standing there, they've just ran past. Who is this guy that's defying the armies of God, the living God? Somehow this was not going down very well with this young shepherd boy, David. And so as the story unfolds, David, in verse 32, and we're just skipping over a few parts here, he said to Saul, King Saul, he said, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Here's a kid, just come from his father's sheep. And he steps onto the scene and he sees this whole thing unfolding and doesn't like what he sees. He doesn't want to have any part in this defiance of his God, the God of Israel. And he steps forward and says, I will go and fight. And Saul's response was, you are only a boy. And he has been a fighting man from his youth. I was sharing with our, before the service this morning, praying with our worship team, and we had a couple of young boys who were here. Actually, Zeke was running the projection today, and Owen was here, and I was just really gripped with this thought that we've got some young men in this church that, and just that whole idea that we can never despise our youth. This young boy is a great example of someone who says, I may be young, but I know a God who can use me. I know a God who's greater than any giant. I know a God who can do anything. I know a God who can do the impossible. And that's an example to all of us. We may seem small and weak, but we have a God who is much greater. And so we need to see our children and our youth and our kids come to that understanding very quickly in life that they serve a great God. And God wants to use them. God wants to use you this morning. And so David, you know, he starts to think about his own track record. He starts to think about what he's been doing out in the shepherd field. And he says, you know, Saul, he said, it just so happened that one day a bear came to my sheep. And another day, a lion came, and he says, I went out and I grabbed that lion by the hair, and I killed him. This guy had killing experience already, this David. He says, I went after it. I went after that lion, that bear. I went after it. I struck it, rescued from the sheep, from its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. He says, your servant, this is David now speaking, has killed both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has, why? Because he has defied the armies of the living God. And I love what he said. He said, the same God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. David had a good track record. David already knew what it was like to go up against something that was much more powerful than he was. And in the name of the Lord, overcome. And that's the encouragement that we have this morning. And so Saul, you know, trying to be helpful, he said, okay, well, all right, if you're going to be stupid enough to do this, you're just a kid. He said, well, here, let me put some armor on you. And you can read about that. The reality is that the armor didn't fit. The armor was, it was just, you can just imagine trying to put on this armor that just did not work. And then it says, David said, he says, I cannot go in these. And so basically he just put it aside. And he knew who his armor really was. He knew who his source of strength really was. And so what we see happening, David choosing a slingshot and five stones and going up against Goliath. And as they, you know, Goliath, David's basically saying, let me at him. And so you see this kid with his sling and these stones, and he begins to go into the valley to go out towards Goliath. And Goliath sees him coming, and Goliath thinks, oh my goodness. And he starts to say, he says, am I a dog? Look at verse 43. He says, am I a dog that you come against me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. He said, come here, he said, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And David said, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied. I think that was the thing that ticked David off the most, was the fact that he had defied the God of Israel. He had defied David's God. And that's often what our giants are doing. That's often what our giants are doing. They are defying the God within us. They are defying Jesus within us. And in verse 47, he says, and all those gathered here. Oh, no, let me just go back. I got to finish reading that verse. He says, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. He said, this day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down, and I will cut off your head. And then he says in verse 47, and all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. He will give you into our hands. And then it says, and David triumphed over Goliath. Now, let me ask this question this morning. Who ultimately was the giant slayer? The story unfolds where David put that one stone in the sling and wound it up, and it was a well-directed stone that went and it hit Goliath right in the head, and Goliath didn't even know what hit him, and down he went. But who was it really that slew Goliath? Who was it that really took Goliath down? Who was it that really, was it David? And I don't even think David would have said, hey, look what I just did, hey, you know. No, we know that it was the Lord. He had already said, it will be the Lord, for the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. The reality is this morning is that Jesus is our ultimate giant slayer. And that's one of the things this morning about communion. We're going to be having communion in a few moments. And it reminds us of the battle that's already been won. And the story of David, if you want to write this down, the story of David is really the story of Jesus. It's really the story of Jesus. And what we see here is how that even David chose not to take the armor of Saul. David chose to trust in the Lord. David saw Goliath as big, but he saw the God of Israel as bigger. And I think that's a key point this morning. It doesn't minimize the size of our giants, but what we need to do is see the greatness of our God, the bigness of our God. And that's today, as we have communion this morning, we're reminded of a great battle that has already been won. You see, our giants have already been defeated. Our giants have already been taken out. And through the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Satan has already been defeated. The Bible says that Jesus came to destroy all the works of the enemy. And when he hung on that cross, the declaration that sums it up is when he says, "It is finished. It is finished. The battle has already been won." It's Jesus this morning who is our giant slayer. It's Jesus this morning who lives within us. When you receive Christ, when you open your heart and invite him, welcome him into your life, it's Jesus now who lives within you and through you. You have the giant slayer within you this morning. It's Christ who is in us, the Bible says, who is the hope of glory. It's Christ in us who has come to break every chain, every chain. It's because of the finished work of Christ that every giant must fall. And some of you might say, "Pastor Dave, why do I still have giants in my life? Why do I still battle with fear? Why do I still battle with temptation? Why do I still battle with addictions? Why do I still battle with these things?" And name your giant, whatever it might be. I love just an example that Louis Giglio points out. He points out that our giants are dead, but they are still deadly. Interesting. Our giants are dead, but they are still deadly. And you say, "Well, how does that work?" And he uses the example of, and maybe some of you have experienced this, hopefully maybe not, but the story of how a rattlesnake can be actually dead and be out, you could be out on the trail and that snake has been dead. It might have been dead for months. And it's just a skeleton there, just the skeleton of a snake. And yet if you stepped on its head, there's still actually poison in its fangs, and there's still venom in its fangs that can actually penetrate your body, and you could potentially die from it, even though the snake is dead. And in many ways, that's still a picture of Satan. While Satan has already been defeated, his presence is still here. We know that to be true. And he still, that's where lies come in. That's where deceitfulness comes in. That's where the accusation of the enemy comes in. He's defeated, but he is still doing his ugly work. And so, one simple question this morning is, how can we overcome? And there's going to be other things that we'll talk about. But the one thing I want to just touch on this morning, just for a couple of moments before we move into communion, is that probably one of the greatest steps, one of the greatest opportunities we have to deal with these giants that come into our life is the importance of having a change of focus. And that is, when I talk about having a change of focus is getting our eyes off of the bigness of our giant and getting our eyes on the bigness of our God. Let me say that again. We need to get our eyes off of our giant and onto the bigness of our God. And this is where what we were doing here just a few minutes ago and what you can do in your day-to-day life, not just on a Sunday morning when we or a Sunday evening when we gather. This is the whole value of worship. Ultimately, it comes down to worship. You see what was happening with those armies? They would line up for battle every morning. Goliath would step out, and he would begin to defy Israel. He would taunt them and harass them and intimidate them. And he was this huge, giant presence. And basically what ended up happening was the armies of God, the armies of Israel, they in a sense, they actually began to worship Goliath. Like, oh, he is so great. He is so powerful. He is so amazing. He is so awesome. We could never beat him. We could never overcome him. And in a sense, what happened was the giant just got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. David, on the other hand, in his time that he spent out in the shepherd's field, had learned to worship God, had learned to see the greatness and the majesty of God. And what worship does, what worshiping God does, it gets our focus back on where it needs to be. Worship reminds us that God is still in control. Worship releases the power of God into whatever we are facing, friends. That's what worship does. Worship basically declares that every giant must fall. I received a text yesterday, and I put it into the, it's into your notes here this morning, and that is that when we focus on our giants, you stumble. But when you focus on your God, your giant tumbles. How many would agree with that this morning? When you focus on your giants, you stumble. But when you focus on your God, your giant tumbles. And that's the call this morning. David, the shepherd boy, learned the value of worship. He learned that his God was bigger than any bear, any lion, and now Goliath. David lifted his gaze, and we began this morning. I want to go back to it again as we close today. In Psalm chapter 8, we began this morning's service with this scripture. David watching his father's sheep. David was one of the guys who wrote many of the Psalms. In chapter 8, verse 1, he said, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." Here's this kid just getting the greatness of God. He has this picture of God as being great. Look at verse 3. He says, "And when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him?" You see, David, his view of, he had this universal, this galactic view of God. He saw God as great. And he saw Goliath as no match for his God, even though he was just a boy. He saw Goliath as no match. And how he learned that, I believe this morning, was in worship. And so my encouragement to us this morning is, where is your focus today? And the last thing we want to do is minimize our giants. You've got some giants that, you know, the reality is they're dead, but there's still some squirming there. They're still talking. There's still poison. There's lies. There's things that you have found yourself believing. And the reality is today is that sometimes we get our focus on those giants, and that's all we talk about. That's all we see. When God is saying, lift your gaze. And that's what we can learn from David this morning. was that David lifted his gaze and saw God as his giant slayer. And my prayer this morning is that will be an encouragement to us, to you. Name your giant. What is it? I want you to know this morning that God is greater. And that's why we need to have Christ within us. That's why we can't take down this giant of fear alone. That's why we can't take down addiction. That's why we can't take down hatred or anger or unforgiveness or bitterness. We can't take it down in our own strength. We need Jesus, the giant slayer. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me. I'm going to ask the worship team if they could come back. I want you to bow your heads with me in prayer. We're going to just, as we move into communion, I'm going to just begin quietly to sing that song again, Lord, I Need You. And communion today is a reminder of the work that Jesus has done for us that's finished. Every giant has already been defeated. How many are thankful for that this morning? That giant in your life has already been defeated. And part of it is not only reminding ourselves, but also reminding the enemy that he's already been defeated. That's why worship is so important. Sometimes we minimize the value of singing songs like, How Great Is Our God, so all the world will know. That was probably one of the biggest reasons that David, he says, you know what? I'm going to take your head off so all the world will know. That's what he said. I'm going to take your head off so all the world will know that God is the God of Israel and God is greater. Our God is greater. Jesus is greater. And it's in the midst of that great battle that David went in with hope and confidence. As you face that giant in your life right now, you can face that giant with hope. I want you to bow your heads with me before we receive communion. I'm wondering this morning how many would say, Pastor Dave, I've got some giants in my life, but I have never received the giant killer. I have never welcomed Jesus Christ into my life. I've never opened my life to him. Or maybe I've known him in the past, but I've been trying to fight these giants in my own strength, and it's not going too well. Last week, we talked about coming home. And there were some people who opened their lives and some who said, yeah, I need to come back home. I need to come home, back home to Christ. And that was awesome. You may be here this morning and you'd say, I've been trying to fight these giants in my own strength and they're just wearing me right out. And I haven't given Jesus the rightful place in my life. I have not recognized him as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who is ultimately supreme in my life. Today, I want to bring him back to that place where I know my life has been, I've just been running in fear. And I'm thankful that Jesus was willing to step into that valley and take on these giants in my life. And I just need to allow him to do his work. The Bible says the battle belongs to the Lord. And if that's you this morning, today is your day when you're saying, Jesus, I am surrendering my giant and that giant of my life over to you. We want to pray for you. And I'm just going to invite you just to raise your hand just for a moment. If that's you today, just slip up your hand in this place. If that's you, God bless you. Is there someone else today? Anyone, just bless you, sir. Yeah. Anyone else? God bless you, young man. Yeah. That's why the church, the body of Christ, is so important. That's why being part of a small group is so important. Because we help each other keep our eyes back where they should be. And too often we run around talking about our giants when we need to be lifting our eyes towards Jesus and towards God, giving him that rightful place and putting the focus back there. And so, Father, right now I pray for these three or four people who have just been honest enough to indicate their need and their surrender to Jesus Christ. And I pray that today would be a day of new beginning, a day of new hope, a day of new courage, a day of new faith. God, you know exactly where people are at today. We thank you this morning that as we come into communion, that we are reminded that every giant has already fallen, and we want to walk in that victory today. We want to thank you, Jesus, that you have done the hard work for us already, and that your work on the cross has already been finished, and we get to live in that victory today. And we get to help each other in this journey together. We pray as we move in this series over these next few weeks that, God, our hearts would be open to allow you to help us to walk in the reality that every giant must fall, whatever that is. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We're going to invite you to come for communion. And as you're coming,